Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read verse 16, 17, and 18. And then I will read one more verse for you at some point here. But verse 16, 17, and 18, Colossians chapter 1 says this, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body and the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." The other verse I'll read for you is James chapter 4, verse 8. You can listen. James 4, 8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for the day that You've given to us. Thank You for the fact that You do keep all things going how they ought to. Lord, You are in charge. You're the one that all goodness comes from. Lord, all the blessings that we have because of You and how much You love us. So God, help us to give honor and praise to You for what You've done for us. Help us to learn more about You tonight. Lord, help us to come away encouraged, but also motivated to do that which is pleasing to You in Your sight. And Lord, to be better for You this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I like science, and I like all that kind of stuff. I think you figured that out by now. I wouldn't be where I'm at, teaching in the school and all that. And you know what? But you do too. And even if you don't like it, you actually do. And as a teacher, that's half my job, is convincing students that this is good for them, all right? But it really is. Sometimes we just take for granted that which people before us had no idea. You got to think that we think, oh, the sun, you know, we understand how that works. But, you know, before they were misguided in a lot of ways. I know, and preacher got up and he preached a great message about the fact that, boy, if people would read the Bible, some of those things are very obvious, all right, what God teaches about the creation, about science and how the world works. But, you know, we got to stop sometimes and just be thankful for that. I'm thankful that somebody way back when learned some of that stuff before I was born. And I'm born into the time that I am, and we have some of the technology and things that we have because of someone else working at doing those things, and ultimately because God lets us do it, amen? And so thank the Lord for that. But there's a guy, his name is Isaac Newton, and he's an amazing scientist, but he was more than a scientist. He'd probably be a pretty neat guy to meet, honestly. And I think that, honestly, I think he's a saved man. I do think he knows the Lord as a Savior, at least it seems that way if you read some of his things. And he actually ended up getting a job as a hunting down basically the fraudulent people of his day. He worked for the Royal Mint, all right, where they minted coins. And he would basically go, you know, hunt down people who were, you know, changing the coins, okay, and forgers, all right, not the guys you want to be hanging out with, and dangerous people. And so sometimes you think, you know, nerdy scientist guy, but honestly, he was involved in quite a few things. And so here's the interesting thing, and we'll get to why we're talking about him in just a minute. But if you're going to talk to somebody in modern day science and stuff, they're all evolutionists. I don't know of many main scientists that's not, because they bought into the evolution theory, right? Theory, not fact. They don't believe the Bible, most of them. And I know that there are a few exceptions to that rule, but by and large, they're affected by that one way or the other. And if you're going to talk with a modern scientist, though, a good person to bring up is Isaac Newton, all right? Because a lot of people will talk about scientists and they'll reference these past things. Well, you can talk about some of those things and you bring up the fact, hey, you know, because they don't like hearing that one of theirs is a Bible believer, all right? The more people you can point out, it's just like everything else. Your history books, okay? Go study your founding fathers. The world doesn't want to hear that a lot of those guys were Christians, all right? They know that. They're trying to hide it. So as a Christian, we got to keep that in mind when we talk to folks. He said this, "Atheism is so senseless. When I look at the solar system, I see the earth at the right distance from the sun to receive the proper amounts of heat and light. This did not happen by chance." That was Isaac Newton. He also said, "I have a fundamental belief." Did this all of a sudden get really loud? Am I really loud? I don't know. This thing got really loud or something. He said, "I have a fundamental belief in the Bible as the Word of God, written by men who were inspired. I study the Bible daily." He actually wrote a commentary on Daniel, Revelation. I don't think I'd read that if I were you. He's got some issues there, but it is what it is. He tried. Newton had an atheist friend one time that he often got in quarrels with, because as a scientist, as a man of education, obviously, like I said, That started a long time ago, folks. The atheism thing, the evolution thing, that didn't happen overnight. And what we see now is certainly nothing like what it used to be. But a lot of those theories, the fact that men are trying to argue away God, has been happening since the devil, all right, since the beginning. So this shouldn't surprise us any. But he had a friend who was an atheist who he taught with, and he made a model of the solar system at one point, and he brought it over to the guy's house, or maybe he brought the guy to his house, can't remember. But either way, the man walked in, and he was amazed by it. He had the sun at the middle of it, and he, you know, it was a neat working thing. And the guy was amazed at the construction of it and how much work he had put into it. And he basically, asked him, "Where did you get such an amazing thing?" And Newton said, "I don't know. I just piled a bunch of junk on my metal table last night. And when I came in the morning, it was assembled." Very smart quip at the guy, because the guy looks at him and says, you're joking with me. You're making me a fool. There's no way that happened. And Newton said, "You're right. And there's no way that the marvelous universe we live in could have happened by accident." All right? And so those are the kind of things that you get into. Now, that's not completely the message today. That's kind of where it started. This isn't going to be a lesson on the life of Isaac Newton or whatever. But I'll tell you where it came up in my Bible reading and why I go to that verse, you know, "By him all things consist." I love that verse, you know. The Lord takes care. I love the fact that everything in the world that happens, and this is a good thing for us to remind ourselves right now in our church. I almost changed the message today just because of some of the nature of the church stuff. But you know what? Changing a message that God wants you to preach is not a good idea. And you know what? The more you read the Bible, the more it just enforces what's going on. It does. And if you'll read your Bible, you know, sometimes we have troubles in our life. And when you open your Bible in the morning and you're doing your devotions, sometimes, I'll be honest, that's a struggle sometimes, isn't it? You know, when your heart is heavy, you want to just not read your Bible. You want to just pray, right? And that's okay. You should pray more, amen? But, you know, sometimes we'll read, you know, maybe you'll be stuck in Chronicles and you're thinking, "Lord, what am I going to get out of Chronicles this morning?" All right? But if you'll stick at it, God will give you some things. And I was reading through the Psalms and Proverbs where Solomon goes back and forth talking about different things. You know, if the wise will do this and the evil will do this. And this little phrase came to my mind from when I was in school. And the phrase was this: "For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction." How many of you heard that before? All right? That's a pretty common sense thing. I mean, I think we could all pretty much have come up with that one on our own. Okay? "For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction." And I started thinking about that in my mind. I'm like, I thought that was the second law of thermodynamics and all that other kind of stuff. It's not. It's one of Newton's laws of motion. He had three of them. Okay? Now, he had a whole book on stuff, so he's got more than three laws that he made up. And by the way, he didn't make the laws up. Who did that? God did. All right? We just read that. "By him all things consist." When a man sees a law and puts it into a textbook, that's mankind's, you know, interpretation, if you will, or explaining of what God has already done. And if you'll study out science, science always does that, okay? Or should always do that. True science, like we have learned before, always verifies the Bible, okay? It always backs up the Bible or is backed up by the Bible. And so it's nice, you know, true science is really just that. Mankind, you know, studying things and learning about what God has already what? Created or allowed to happen. And so I like that. But every action, there's equal and opposite reaction. If you'll read your Bible, that's true. Okay? Go through the book of Psalms and Proverbs, and we couldn't even go through all of them. God usually says, "If you'll do this, I'll do this." Okay? Hillary says, "If you do this, here's what happens." All right? Or he'll sometimes give conflicting, you know, sides of things. The foolish acts like this, and the wise men acts like this. That's good for you young people, because you know what? Anybody can understand that. All right? I'll tell my kids, "Hey, if you get up out of your bed when you're not supposed to, you're in trouble." Okay? You say, "That sounds..." Well, they know the rule, don't they? All right? They know the boundaries. They know they know that their action is going to bring a reaction. Okay? Now listen, brothers know that too. And I knew that when I had a sister, right? My actions brought a reaction, didn't it? Okay? And we would do things to our sister to get a reaction, all right? Guys, you probably do that to your wife, all right? She would claim that you push a few extra buttons, all right? And some of you, you know, when you find the button, you keep pushing it again and again. That's not a good idea. Your action is going to keep bringing, right, the same reaction. And you know what? The truth is, human nature, we do that, don't we? All right? It is terrible. I know. I better stop meddling in your marriage. All right? I'm not a marriage counselor, okay? In fact, I think I... Yes. Obviously is right. I think if you... It's a good thing my... You know what? My wife is not here tonight, so... I can say whatever I want. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. Anyway, so that little phrase kept bugging me, and I went and I looked up those three laws of motion again. There's fancy ways of putting them, and then there's layman's terms. We're going to do some layman's terms tonight, okay? So that the elementary kids can learn. They can come away, and they can say, what'd you learn in church tonight? I learned Newton's three laws of motion. I got them, all right? Okay, one of them is, if this object is sitting here, is it going to move, Emily? No, it's not going to move. An object at rest will stay at rest unless somebody, an outside force, like my hand, picks it up, right? Or an outside force, like an earthquake, shakes the building and knocks it down, right? And so that's the simple, the first law. The other one was a little bit harder to understand maybe, but this same pen, if I threw it straight up in the air, it would keep going up in the air if it weren't for a lot of forces acting on it, all right? What's the one main force that makes this come down? Gravity, okay? So we're learning a science lesson in church. You weren't expecting to get school at church, but here you go, okay? This object should keep moving if it weren't for who? God creating gravity, by the way. And so gravity is around and it keeps that down. That's the force that acts on all of us, some of us more than others, okay? And then, you know what? Even if gravity wasn't here, we've got an outside force called the ceiling that is stopping it, okay? That friction of the ceiling stops it, unless we shoot a gun, all right? Right? I've done that before, all right? Right through a wall, okay? Not a safe thing, okay? And guess what? The bullet did stop eventually, all right? After it went through at least one wall, okay? And it did stop somewhere else. But you know what? Gravity and things in the way stopped that. So number one was, this will tend to either keep going or not move at all unless something influences it. So we're going to look at each one of these. And the second one, let me just give you all three of them right while we're sitting here, okay? The other one was, the greater the mass of the object, the more force it takes to move it, okay? It doesn't take me very much to lift this pen up, okay? But I can't take these two fingers and lift this pulpit up. No, I can't. All right? And the bigger the object, okay, the harder it is for us to move, all right? Or it's not impossible to move, all right? We've moved, you know, there's a lot of lessons in how to leverage all that force and all that. That's a different thing. But essentially, the bigger the object is, the more force we're going to need to move it, okay? Brother Jeff, moving the trailer around takes a lot more force than you and me walking out there and picking it up with our hands, all right? And go ask him about that sometime. And so basically, hey, listen, you know what? That's a fact of life. It's a fact of nature. We all learn it, okay? You're going to learn that. You ever seen a little kid learn these things? All right? It's fun, okay? In fact, there's a lot of funny illustrations you can give for these things. But a little kid who, you know, Henry and Andrew are learning to walk. And anything that gets in their way, they usually find a way around it or whatever. But earlier, you know, Henry was trying to squeeze in. But you know, if you see a kid, he's trying to squeeze in between something. And he gets stuck, and he's pushing on it as much as he can. He's going, and assume, you know what, eventually he just cries. You know why? Because his little force can't do anything to that big object, okay? And so you guys got to keep that in mind. And then the last one is the one we already talked about. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. That's everything, okay? If I bring these two boys up here and say, all right, man, slap him in the face. All right? They want to do this now, okay? You know what the other guy's going to want to do? Slap him back, okay? You know, and now you shouldn't do that. There's the Christianity thing that comes in, okay? That kind of goes against some of the laws of physics. But basically, what wants to happen, hey, listen, when you shoot a gun, the bullet goes that way, and that gun goes back into your arm. That's why there's a recoil, okay? When you hammer something, all that force you're putting into it is going right down into that nail, okay? And they're pushing against each other. So that's the science lesson. Now we're done. How does this apply to our life? Well, we're going to go over those things here in the Bible. Okay, so let's look at the number one. Number one, any object in motion will continue to move in the same direction until an outside force acts on it. If it's got no direction, it'll stay with no direction. If it's got direction, it'll stay in whatever direction it started in, unless something moves it. So let's do some spiritual application. Number one, I want you to know, just in case you're in here tonight and not sure of your salvation, the direction of mankind is not good. It's not, okay? The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, actually, real quick with me. This is a great passage of Scripture, not only to use for today, but also to use when you're witnessing to someone, because it does present this idea of mankind was in trouble and now can be redeemed, okay? Once you're saved, your direction should have changed, all right? Mankind's direction, we're naturally born downward, okay? We're naturally born headed to hell. Our physical body is alive, but our soul, the day we're born, is not bound for heaven, okay? I think we all understand that. I understand the age of accountability. But once that sin nature enters, once we know that we have sinned, our soul, we're basically half dead. Our body's living, but you know what? My soul was bound for hell at one point. And you know what? I'm glad that changed. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I was in the wrong spot. Here's what it says. And you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. That was my direction. I was dead at one point. All right? Dead. I deserved to die. My sin was what caused me that. And there was a direction my life was heading. And verse 2, where in time past ye walked, that was the direction we were heading, according to the course of this world. The world has a direction they want you to go, okay? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had conversation in times past. We were all there. In lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and the mind, we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, I love that, even when we were on the totally wrong direction, he sent Jesus to die for my sins. And because of that sacrifice, I had to realize it, by the way. You had to realize it, okay? If you haven't realized the fact that Jesus loved you and he wants to save you, you need to do that tonight. And get that awakened in your mind so that you can be alive and head in the right direction, okay? Look what it says. Even though we were dead, hath he quickened together. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And if you look down there, that's a great section to witness to somebody. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. All right? And so looking up here, let's kick it back. Your direction was one time lost in sin. And the outside force that worked on you was who? The Holy Spirit. Everybody in here has had a meeting with the Holy Spirit and God convicting you of your sins. Can you remember that day? Can you remember the day that you were convicted? Hey, listen, if you haven't remembered that day in a while, you need to. You remember that feeling of sin? Do you remember the feeling of conviction? I do. And you know what? I remember prior times. The sad thing is, sometimes we can remember multiple times God had to do that to us before we finally got saved. Okay? I think the other day, Pastor asked who got saved the first time they heard the gospel. You know what? A lot of people didn't. And you can remember those times, can't you? Aren't you glad you finally trusted Jesus as your Savior? All right? And if you haven't, tonight needs to be the night. You need to get that fixed. Well, Brother Young, what about this direction thing? Well, even after you're saved, though, your direction can still change. I know you're heading to heaven, and that one can't change. You can't change that. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You're not going to lose salvation. But think about this matter of direction. You know, there's some Christians who are like this little pen, and they haven't moved for a long time. And until they let somebody act on them, they're not going to move for a long time. You know why? They stopped, after that salvation experience, somewhere along the line, they stopped letting that outside force work on their heart. They stopped letting it. They got comfortable sitting there in the pew, and they no longer let the Holy Spirit work in their heart. They no longer let anyone tell them what to do. They don't let this thing influence their direction, do they? Hey, listen, you know what? That law of motion is not just a law of motion. It's a law of your heart. Are you going to let the outside force of God's word work on your heart? Now listen, that works both ways too. You don't think, remember that tug of war thing? Okay. If we got all these guys up here and two of them sit over here and over here and they were pulling on each other, the devil's pulling you one way and God's pulling the other. We know that. Hey, parents, you know that. You can see that in your kids, okay? You can see, hey, listen, how many times have you stopped and said, man, you're heading down the wrong direction, okay? Hey, listen, you need to do that. We need people to do that. And you know what? Here's what the Bible says. In Galatians chapter 2, we need that Holy Spirit conviction, okay? For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, okay? And the life which I now live in the flesh, all right? So I used to be on a dead road heading to hell, and now I still have my flesh with me, but I'm still trying to live for the Lord because I'm crucifying that flesh. Hey, listen, we need to be careful what direction, what forces are acting upon us. That's the question tonight. Thinking about that little question there, let me ask you, is he still working on you to make you what you ought to be, right? He's still working on me. You know, there's some Christians who say, he'll never work on me because I'm just what I want to be. All right? I'm just comfortable sitting here in my seat, listening to the pastor year after year. Hey, listen, why are we talking about this? This convicts my heart because you know what? I need to make sure that I'm at least pliable and pointable. Okay? I want to be pointable. All right? If anybody can make a course correction, you've driven a car or you're taking a boat, you constantly have to make course corrections, don't you? You know, if you just trust that car, you know, even these self-driving cars, you know what they're doing? They're making a bunch of course corrections inside that machine. It's making a bunch of course corrections to keep that car on the road. Hey, your Christian life needs to be that. Hey, young people, listen, you let mom and dad correct your course. Hey, if you got something you're starting to do, you let mom and dad tell you which way. Hey, listen, God gave you your parents for a reason. If nobody acts upon that person, the devil's going to, and he's going to point them the wrong way. Okay, so hey, be careful about that law. Number two, the greater the mass of the object, the more force it takes to move it. Okay, this is not a fat joke, all right? The greater the mass of the object, the more, we're not talking about you trying to get out of your seat, all right? It does apply, listen, it applies to our life right now, though. Here's what 1 John 4:4 says. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hey, I just want to stop here and say, this point's not going to take us very long. You know why? I think our church needs this encouragement right now. Because when you get this many prayer chain requests and you get this many heartaches and things going on around the church, you need to stop and think about that for just a little bit. There's a song that my mom used to sing that Jack Hiles used to sing, and I think she learned it back then. Is anything too hard for God? It's out of your hands. You've done all you can do. You've given God the problem. It's no longer up to you. You've prayed the prayer of faith. Now you're standing on God's truth while you're waiting on the answer, because that's the hard part, waiting on the answer. He's got a question for you. Here's a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? No. No. And you know what? Listen, think about that, though. That's awesome. The biggest problem you ever will face on earth is really small to God. The biggest thing that you need done in your life, hey, listen, the biggest purchase you're trying to make, the biggest decision you're trying to make, the biggest crisis in your life, hey, listen, the many number of crises that come in your life, they do matter. I won't say it doesn't matter because I think they do matter, but it does matter who you're turning to. And the Bible clearly tells us, hey, God's greater than all those. My wife used to sing, listen, she went on tour for the college. And she used to sing, my God is bigger than any problem. That's what she would sing. And you know what? When I got to know my wife, it was in 2011. She and I both went to college at the same time as freshmen. And she came to college in August. We met each other and weren't allowed to date, which was a good thing. Amen. We dated for 3.5 years and got married in college. But I got to know her very well that first year. Her mom was battling cancer that year. And I got to watch her go home several times, you know. And she went home during Thanksgiving, and she went home during Christmas, and knew kind of her mom was heading the wrong direction, and prayed for her. And she made a decision she knew her mom was, you know, close to death's door. And she made a decision to come back to school because she believed that it was the right thing to do. All right, now that's a hard decision because a lot of people would have stayed home and just been home with her dad. And she made a decision to stay there during that December. She came back in January, and you know what? In February, her mom passed away. While she was at college, she wasn't there. They had just gone home, but she had passed away there. And you know what? That seemed like a big problem, and it was a heartache. But you know what? She got to go that next summer, the same year that her mom passed away. She went on tour. I think she even came here. And she walked around and sang, "My God is bigger than any problem." Okay? And all those other songs that honestly, some days are just tough to sing. Okay? And yet you have to sing them all the time when you're on tour. Oh, and you have to smile. And you have to shake people's hands. And you know what? Listen, that hadn't been very long. Her mom had passed away just recently. But you know what? Listen to me. God used that trial in her life. So many places that she went. So many places. There was multiple churches that she would go to, and she would meet people who are going through the same stuff. And honestly, listen, her tour leader, you know, Dr. Jorgensen, he knew that, you know, all those tour girls, they knew what she had gone through. And you know what? Every once in a while, it would come out that that had happened. And you know what? She just used that for God's glory. God took a trial and let her, honestly, be a blessing to other people. And that ought to be our goal. Listen, folks, God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. And yes, the bigger the problem is, the more we sometimes try to do it ourselves, but we find out really quick it doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way, does it? Let's lean on the Lord and keep Him as the center of our, as what we should do, okay? Number three, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Hey, listen, you know what? This is the only law that we can't really apply to God. Because God has no variableness. You know, action, reaction, or this way and that way is not what God is. He's always the same. I'm glad that God is constant. Yesterday, today, forever, God's the same, okay? But sometimes we see in life that we reap what we sow. Hey, the world knows that too. They don't admit it all the time, but they know it, okay? And if you're not convinced of it, Galatians chapter 6. Go there real quick. It's right next to Ephesians since we're already there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Well, Brother Young, what are you talking about? Well, here's the reaction. "For he that soweth to his flesh," that's an action, "shall of the flesh reap corruption." That's the reaction, okay? "But he that soweth to the Spirit," that's an action you've got to take, "shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Hey, listen, folks, you know what? It's hard sometimes doing right. It is, because you don't always see the result of that action. And that's very hard. But listen, there's a young man who's on trial right now in public eye for a firearms thing. You know, that action has a lot of reactions. And you know what? The world loves to react to stuff. I almost could say, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction and somebody's overreaction. All right? Because there is. Everything you do, somebody's going to overreact to it. All right? Even in the Christian world. Boy, if Brother Young says something, I mean, half of you might be going, "Ha, that's funny," or "Oh, that's dumb." And then there's going to be one person overreacting somewhere. I promise you. All right? You got to be careful, okay? And you know what? You can't. Social media hasn't helped that at all, all right? The overreaction side of things. Hey, be careful, Christian. You know, sometimes we're supposed to act, not react. But also, even if we're going to react, we should never overreact, all right? As a Christian, we should guard ourselves in that area. But God clearly says that, hey, guys, your actions right now as a kid are going to affect your life for the rest of your life. And that's hard to understand as a child. But you know what? We do that at school, too. We help you learn that really early. That's a big part of what school is, teaching you that, hey, your actions have consequences or rewards, one or the other. Hey, adults, we can't forget that. Stop. We can't just teach that to our kids. We got to realize it here. Hey, listen, you know what? What does that mean? I'm not sure, Brother Young, it's always an equal reaction. What do you mean by equal reaction? Well, that is true. Listen, if I hit this pulpit with whatever force that I apply, that a pulpit applies the same back on my hand. I can break my hand hitting this pulpit. You know why? Because there's a lot of force right here, and I could put some force here, but it's going to hurt my hand, okay? But listen, the same thing happens in the spiritual life. Sometimes it doesn't seem equal. Well, Brother Young, I gave my tithes, and it just didn't seem like it's paying off yet. All right? Well, I think you ought to study that tithing thing a little bit, okay? I think God paid for that when he gave his son for you, okay? But also, hey, what about that offering? For the young, I gave offering. I gave to the church plant. Well, the church plant hasn't paid off yet completely. Like, not, you know, but it will. Goodness, go look at Princeton. Did you give to that one? And that church plant has paid off by people. Listen, if I never see anything of that money, it doesn't matter. You know what I was given money for? So souls could be saved. And there have been souls saved. You know what we're giving money for? We're not giving our time for a future investment somewhere in heaven. Hey, listen, but your current actions do. The wicked aren't going to get away with it. Okay? It seems like they do. All right? Hey, how does disobedience pan out, young people? Well, go ask Adam and Eve that. How about ignoring your parents? Does that work? Well, go ask Samson that. He ended up with his eyes poked out. Hey, listen, how about your foolish vows? How about a prayer that you pray that you don't think about when you pray it? That's a dangerous thing to do. I don't want to ask God for something I didn't think about first. All right? Because he might just answer my prayer. You don't know if that's possible? Ask Jephthah. He lost his daughter because of that. Hey, what about living for money? What about working real hard and earning money? That's a good thing, Brother Young. Yeah, it is. But living for it, go ask Gehazi. Gehazi was a young man who wanted that money. And you know what? God cursed him with leprosy and his family, the people that came after him. Well, that's a dangerous thing. He didn't even know. You know what? Listen, hey, young men, dads, I guarantee every dad in here probably has something in their past that they would feel like, man, what I did there affected my family now. I bet if we were all honest, we've got something that we could say, man, I wish I hadn't done that quite that way, because now it affects my kids, all right? And who knows what it's going to do in the future? And so listen, you don't know. Hey, kids, you don't know. It's important. That's why that decision of marrying somebody, that decision will affect the rest of your life. Why do you think Pastor talks about that so much? Because you make that decision wrong, that action is going to bring a permanent reaction in your life, whether you like it or not. Hey, listen, are you enjoying pleasure over the principles of God's word? Then you might end up like Solomon, who started really well and ended poorly. Hey, listen, the world, sometimes it's discouraging. You watch them, they got a lot of money, they seem to be doing okay. But go read Psalm 73. I was envious at the foolish, but they're brought to desolation as in a moment, the Bible says. Hey, listen, their actions will eventually bring God's reaction. And I don't want to mess with this idea of reaping and sowing. Hey, listen, remember this, James 4:8. I love that verse. The action, God, there is an action you can do that always is good. You ready for it? Draw nigh to God. That's an action. Draw nigh to God. Hey, listen, young people who are sitting here, maybe you're tired. It's been a long day at school, okay? Hey, listen, I'm tired. Everybody in here is probably a little tired. You know what we need to do tomorrow morning? Wake up and draw closer to God. We've got to do that. Hey, listen, you know what our nation needs to do? Draw nigh to God. Our nation's not going to do that, by the way. Christians can, though. Okay? And if Christians do, if enough Christians did, then I think our nation would come with it. I really do. I believe that. Okay? I'm not a defeatist person. I don't think America's getting wiped off the earth tomorrow. But if it does, guess what I still need to do? Draw nigh to God. I think maybe something like that happening would cause us to draw. But you know what? Listen, we ask for that and we wish, oh, maybe if 9/11 happened again, we'd draw closer to God. I don't think so. Okay? Because if we Christians can't draw nigh to God without that happening, there's no hope for the nation. That temporary, you know, attack on America, you know, listen, Joe Biden becoming president, okay? Now, if that didn't make you draw closer to God, then you might want to look at that. But listen, no president, no attack, no political thing should make you draw closer to God. We ought to want to draw closer to God because it's in God's word. His promise is, girls, his promise is if you'll get closer to him, he'll get closer to you. And you know what? The same is true the other way. If you go away from him, he'll back away from you. He's not going to sit there with you sinning. He's not, listen, there's some people. Now, it's kind of like a dad and a son. You know, when one of my kids needs me, if I'm just standing there, a lot of times they'll just run up and see me. I don't move a whole lot. I'm not God. I don't have that same level of maybe love to my kids. And I love my kids, okay? But God's different. He literally promises, if you draw near to him, he's going to run to you, okay? But you know how they show in the movies, you know, or whatever, you know, two people running at each other like this, and the kid hugs his dad. And I can imagine that's exactly what the prodigal son was like, right? They met each other and they loved each other. You know, they connected there. But you know what? If you're not careful, it'll be the other way. At some point, if you start sinning and going the wrong direction, God can't stay over there in your sin. And he's going to walk completely the other way and say, okay, whenever you're ready to come back this way, I'll come meet you. All right? I'll come to you. Hey, listen, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. If you get nothing else, that's a good thing to get tonight. What does that mean? Well, how are you doing with good old Mr. Newton's three laws? All right? What are they? Well, what direction are you going? What direction are you going? Are you saved? If you're saved, are you still the same today as the day you got saved? Because if that's the case, that's not a good thing. We should be going closer to God. All right? If this little pen here is still flying that way after I throw it, good for it, but it's just going to keep flying until something stops it, okay? Or until something moves it. It's got to have more of, you know, if this pen sits here, it's got no purpose in life until somebody picks it up and uses it. Hey, listen, young people, we want you to be used of God. Hey, parents, you ought to be wanting to be used of God. Bus captain, we need to be used of God. And the only way I'm going to do that is if I'm making sure my direction's right. Okay. Number two, are you allowing God to work on you? That force that we were talking about. Hey, listen, are you giving your problems to the Lord? Are you taking your things to God in prayer? You know, my problem is I don't pray like I should. Every problem, I knew a preacher said this, every problem is a prayer problem. Every problem. He said every. I said, yeah, but what about the money I need? It's a prayer problem. And you say, that sounds too easy, Brother Young. That's just not true. We got to work hard. You're right, but it's still a prayer problem. Every problem that you have can be solved through going to God in prayer. And guess what? When you go to God in prayer and say, God, I need $3,000. Guess what he oftentimes answers with? Here's a job. Go do it. Now it's not a prayer problem. It's a doing it problem. Okay? It's an obedience problem. But God will answer the prayer. Maybe he'll say, wait. Maybe he'll say, not yet. Okay, maybe he'll said, I'll give it to you slowly over time. And we're impatient. We want it now. So listen, hey, what's your problem? Are you giving it to God? Number three, your actions today are going to have a result down the road. The people you hang out with today, the things you're watching, the people you're with, those are actions that will have a reaction. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. Maybe just for eternity. Boy, that one's hard to swallow sometimes. You know, my actions today, if I ignore all the stuff I'm supposed to do for God, how many people died and their eternity is gone because I didn't act? Hey, listen, we got to be careful. When we pray tonight, let's pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's go to the Lord with those things. But also, let's make sure we go out this weekend and tell other people about Jesus. Hey, those three laws of motion, I like Mr. Newton. I hope I meet him in heaven. But I'm looking forward mostly to meeting the Lord. And let's tell some other folks about Jesus this week. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody look around. Lord, thank you so much for the day today. Lord, we do want to praise you for the fact that you're in control. Lord, please help us to realize that our direction is super important. God, help us to do everything we can to point these young people to you. Lord, point them to the right direction. And then, Lord, help us to give our problems to you. And Lord, help us to rely on you when we need things solved. And you can help in any situation. Then, God, help us to act rightly this week. And, Lord, make sure we're guarding our thoughts and actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.